I see.
And there wasn't the right time for the judges to go to comparative negligence as opposed to contributory. When Playcheck came along, the composition of the court was such, and in looking at the picture of us here in this volume 405, the court then was Chief Justice Coleman, Justice Williams, Justice T.G. Kavanaugh, Justice Fitzgerald, Justice Levin, Justice Blair Moody, and me.
Moody probably was the fourth vote, right?
Yes. And so we, not to be too technical in the matter, after considering this thing, all seven of us came to the conclusion that comparative negligence was an idea whose time had come in the development of the common law in Michigan. Where we parted, in the principle which divides us 4-3 in this case report of Playcheck versus Sterling Heights, is that Justice Coleman, Justice Fitzgerald, and I thought that since we're creating new law, the law of comparative negligence, it ought to be, like all law, applicable only prospectively for instances which occurred in the future. The majority of the court, the other four justices, didn't think so for reasons that are fairly technical, but are defensible as a matter of principle among good lawyers. They thought the new rule ought to be applicable to accidents which had been occurring for many months before we even heard the case. That's the only thing that divided us of any significance. But
now, governmental immunity, is that an example of the sort of common law? I realize there's a statute, but it's my recollection is it's so amorphous that you can't tell what it says. Would you not put that in the category of the common law development?
Well, I call it interstitial judicial lawmaking because there was a statute, and as you said, and it was written broadly and vaguely and in very imprecisely, and in my opinion, as you have heard and noted today, my not so humble opinion, the members of the Michigan Supreme Court had botched up the law of governmental immunity rather badly, doing the best they could with a poorly written statute and trying to create some distinctions between the immunity of municipal government, city governments, as opposed to other governments, state and county. The result was a mess. And so it was a proper subject for judicial lawmaking, both because there had been some, what I thought and think, was some poor judicial lawmaking on the fringes of the statute before my time. I wasn't alone in this view. So we felt we had some straightening out to do and some augmenting of the statute to do. You know, it's the tradition in the federal system, Roger, that probably more often than not, Congress tends to write legislation very, very broadly, almost vaguely, with the sometimes explicit but usually implicit understanding that the federal judiciary will fill in the gaps. That has not been the tradition historically in Michigan. The legislature in Michigan has, for the most part, tended to write with greater particularity when it makes statutes. The governmental immunity statute was not one of them. It was written broadly and a little loosey-goosey, so we were making a lot of law about governmental immunity to try to straighten that out.
Just to finish up on the governmental immunity, you remember in 82, Ross versus Consumers Power came along, and the court was reduced to six persons at that time, and the court divided equally.